coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Bring out your dead! The monster's coming! He's coming! Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! The monster's coming!
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. We got a great show, but it's also a rather unusual show. We haven't done a show like this before. You know, normally we're talking about guns, right? Guns, concealed carry, you know, the right ammo, warrior mindset, all of that stuff. And that's all very important. But that's not the only thing threatening our family. Today, we are talking about something very timely, very much in the news. It's called a flu pandemic. Now, some of you might not even know what a flu pandemic is, but you're going to find out. Because we have a special guest coming up with us, a Dr. Peter Vance is coming up in segments 2 and 3, and he's going to educate all of us on what exactly is this flu virus? What is this pandemic, this epidemic that's going on all over the world? So you're going to learn a lot. If you just stick with us through segments 2 and 3, oh man, you're going to learn a lot about how to protect your family. But first, let's talk about, what's going on right now. I'm just doing a lot of classes right now, doing several basic CPL classes every month, and now I'm doing countering the active shooter threats. Had the first one of those today over in Fenville. It went fantastic. I think the folks learned a lot. We had a really good time, too, and we'll be talking about that a little bit more in segment 4. It was Groundhog's Day this past week, and you know what? That little bugger, he saw his shadow, and he added 6 more weeks of winter. I'm very disappointed in the Shadow Militia. It was their job to take out this groundhog. Before he saw his shadow, they didn't do it. General Branch, you let me down. I guess the moral of the story is, if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. Next year, I'm taking out Punxsutawney Phil. All by myself. I will not subcontract out that job. 6 weeks of winter is way, way too much. It's cold out there. It's cold in here. Okay, what can we talk about now? Well, that opening segment, the first 30 seconds or so, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. That was an excerpt from the movie The Stand, written by Stephen King. Man, I tell you, that guy is kind of strange, very bizarre, scary kind of a guy. The stuff he writes, all that's coming out of his head. So, man, I don't think I want to be alone in the same room with Stephen King. I think my hair would turn white and blood would start squirting out of my eyeballs. I just don't trust the guy. But anyways, his movie, The Stand, that was a miniseries many, many years ago. I'm kind of a little bit bizarre, at least that's what my wife tells me. If there is a power outage, I want to watch one of those disaster movies about, you know, a cyber storm or an EMP pulse that takes out the whole power grid. You know, I want to watch that movie, you know, simply just for the experience, you know, because I don't like just to go through life boring. I like to make it an event, a happening. And so everyone's got the flu now. I think 56 people have died so far in this flu season. And the flu season hasn't even peaked yet. So I started watching The Stand. I tried to get my family to watch it with me. They would have no part of it. I don't understand that. But hey, to each his own. I think it's exciting. You know, Now that I say that out loud, that does sound a little bit morbid, doesn't it? But it's who I am. I'm not going to deny it. It's fun watching this stand during a flu pandemic. I really like it. But anyways, we're going to be talking about that quite a bit in segments 2 and 3. For right now, let's go ahead and let's find out what's in the news. I'm going to the Telegraph in the UK, telegraph.co.uk, health and fitness. Now, this is a little unusual. I saw this, and I thought, I wonder if that has anything to do with it. You know, I love disaster movies, you know, Armageddon-type stuff, right? You know, call me twisted, whatever. I just like it. This article title, it just jumped out at me. Spermageddon, why the human race could be infertile in 50 years. And you know what? If the human race is infertile, aren't we all going to die? And thus the title, Spermageddon. This is written by India Sturgis. Modern medicine has long presumed fertility to be the dominion of women, a space ruled by gynecologists and invasive procedures explained by softly pink pamphlets. But that is only half the story. Possibly even less, according to mounting evidence. Male fertility is dipping, and fast. Sperm may prove to be the greatest casualty of modern life. You know, I don't have to worry about that. I'm 60 years old. I've done my part. I've done my job. God says repopulate the earth, and, you know, I've done my best. It took 3 wives, but I've had 7 kids. I did it the hard way. No more kids for me. You young guys out there, get off your fat butts and repopulate the earth. Get out there and do your job. And now your sperm count is dipping? Come on, what a cop-out. Do what you got to do. What's it say here? Last summer, scientists at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem found that male sperm counts had fallen by almost 60% in 40 years. In what was the largest study of its kind, they analyzed data from 43,000 men from North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. Wonder how they got the volunteers for that. Taking in 185 studies from 1973 to 2011. Its lead author, Dr. some guy I can't pronounce, decreed the result an urgent wake-up call. Sperm studies have historically been piecemeal and played second fiddle to female fertility research, but warning signs have been flashing for years. Okay, so, men, I don't know what you're doing wrong, but whatever it is, knock it off. Maybe you're just acting like women too much. You're not watching enough John Wayne. You know, stop watching all this girly stuff, all these chick flicks. You know, lay off the Pride and Prejudice. And how about some World War II movies? Watch some of that. You know, you gotta get with the program here. You know, stop waxing your chest. Stop eating all this fancy tofu crap. And just get into some red meat and get out there and work on the railroad or something. Do some manual labor. You know, all this metrosexual crap, it's killing your sperm, apparently. Actually, I don't know what's killing it, but something's killing it. So whatever you're doing, do it different. That's about all the time we have in this first segment. Coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Peter Vance, medical doctor in West Michigan, all about this whole flu virus thing. Man, he is really going to educate us. But I tell you, folks, it's more complicated than I thought it was, and it's more serious than I thought it was. Is it going to cause the end of life on planet Earth as we know it? Is it like Stephen King's The Stand? I guess you're going to have to stick around to segment 2 if you're going to find out the answer to that. But if you do stick around, you won't be disappointed, because we will teach you what you need to know to protect your family against the great American flu virus, which just happens to be from Australia, of all places. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. You got a 2-minute break here while you are away. Go ahead and check out our sponsors. FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. Protect your family from the criminal justice system. And also check out ElitePhirearms.us. See what Larry Jackson can do to help you get the right firearm for your family the first time around. Okay, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. As we break away, listen to this one last clip from Stephen King's The Stand.
That doesn't change the basic fact that our goose is pretty well cooked. Things fall apart. The center does not hold. A man named Yeats said that. I didn't understand that poem in college, Len. But I must be getting smarter in my old age because I understand it now. And one other line from that poem. What rough beast. Its hour come round at last. Slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. I think that beast might be on his way, Len. What do you think? Is that Hungarian goulash?
I know, Ma, it might be, sir.
Yeats was right. Things fall apart.
My name is CJ Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
I have on the phone with me a Dr. Peter Vance. Doctor, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thanks, Skip. Glad to be here.
Well, Dr. Vance, you were in my concealed carry class just this last weekend over in Trenville. We had a great time out on the range.
You did pretty good.
You did pretty good for a doctor.
Thank you.
Dr. Vance, you did some time in the military. You know, you talked a little bit about that in class. But, you know, I'm a military vet myself, and military experience means a lot to me. So would just go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about your military experience before we head on into viruses and such things.
Yes, well, the important thing for today's talk is that I was a military physician for the United States Air Force, and being deployed and being in charge of the air transportable hospitals that we could have a footprint anywhere in the world within 24 hours and a full triage hospital going within 72 hours, I was pretty involved in biological and chemical warfare systems. And when I look at the flu, I see a biological weapon coming at us, a natural one, of course. No conspiracy theory here, but we know a lot about it, and we know how to defend against much of what it can do to us.
Mm-hmm. So what years were you in the Air Force then?
I was active from 97 through 2001. I did reserve time for 3 years before that and for another 7 years after that. I'd like to be able to say I enjoyed every minute of it, but I can truthfully say it was my honor to serve.
All right, great. Well, I can say the same thing about the Marine Corps. When you're humping through the jungle or through a swamp, you go, hey, God bless the Marine Corps. I'm so happy to be doing this right now. Leeches on me and up to my waist in mud and muck and mire. But thank you for your service, Dr. Vance.
Thank you for yours.
Very much. All righty. Okay, so we've got an expert on the line. Before we get into the medical stuff, you know, you were a concealed carry student of mine, and just a few days ago, what prompted you to go ahead and take the class?
Well, I've been a concealed carry student in the past and let it lapse, but recently, one of my partners in crime, as I like to call him, one of my partners in business, Dr. Bill Bonsalar, was taking the class just because he'd been interested in it for a long time and he was looking for somebody to tag along. And I said, I'd love to go along and get a refresher course. And because of that, I got a chance to evaluate you in relationship to the last class. And you do pretty good, Skip.
Well, thank you very much. Fortunately, when we're up on the line, you never asked me to turn my head and cough, which I really appreciate. I didn't even know that. We had two doctors in the class this last Sunday.
Indeed.
Wow. So we were pretty well covered. If anyone had gotten shot, you know, God forbid, we would have been, I'd just throw you the trauma bag and say, hey, doc, go at it.
And we'd have gotten right to it, but thank goodness you run a safe course.
Good. Okay. Dr. Vance, you know, there is all kinds of flu virus going on. I know it happens every single year. I mean, there's no life without the flu virus in America or in the world. But it seems to be, if you're just reading the news reports, you go on drudgereport.com and it talks about, you know, people dying all over the place. What are you seeing locally here in West Michigan as far as the flu epidemic?
We are seeing a lot of the flu. We are seeing a lot of people getting sick with headache and sinus pressure, post-nasal drip, sore throat, cough, fatigue, achiness in their muscles, dizziness when they stand up. And towards the end of the whole course, you get a little loosening of the stools, too. That's why some people, when they eat something that doesn't agree and they get a stomach virus, they will sometimes refer to that as a flu, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the mother of all colds. We're talking about a virus that gets into your upper respiratory tract and gives you cough and congestion that can actually lead to death in some cases. In fact, this year we've already lost 53 pediatric patients, 53 children to the flu.
Wow, okay. So 53 just in your office?
No. That's nationwide. What we've seen here, thank the Lord, is no deaths locally that I've been made aware of. The local health department hasn't reported any, so I'm thankful for that.
Oh, that number 53 then. Are you saying there's been 53 children?
Yes.
Wow. How does that compare to previous years?
Actually, it's up a little bit. It's been in the 30s and 40s in previous years.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was reading, and I know you can't believe everything you read, you know, online or in the media, but it was saying that one of the characteristics this year is that normally the flu season peaks like in January, but now they're saying that it hasn't peaked yet. What can you tell us about that?
Right. They were anticipating that it would have peaked in the third week of January. It was going late, and they thought, well, this is finally it. It can't be sustained at this level. And it's a statistical analysis. You know, how many hosts are there out there yet to be infected? How smart are people? And are they stopping this from spreading? It's reached a point where it can't be sustained. It's going to start dropping off. And what they found was, yeah, it dipped just a little bit, and then it seems to be rising again. But, you know, it looks like the stock market. You can't predict future by past results and So we're still hopeful that it is going to tick down here over the next week or so.
Okay, so it's like the stock market in that it goes up and down, but unlike the stock market in that, boy, people can die. You know, one thing I never really understood, virus versus bacteria. What right. really is the difference?
All right. Bacteria are living organisms, and they attack. They want to live at the expense of your cells. Viruses aren't alive. They are a biological mechanism. It's inanimate. Without you, the virus is nothing. It is a little mechanism that when it attaches to a cell, then it's kind of like one of those little quickie knives that press the button and the blade shoots out. But in this case, the blade shoots out through the cell membrane and injects DNA genetic material into the cell. That genetic material then takes over the working mechanism of the cell. It's kind of like injecting its software into your cell's computer system so that your cell takes over the process of manufacturing not the things that the cell needs to live, but instead more viruses. And it produces a bunch more viruses on the order of hundreds of thousands and millions, and then those attach to other cells and go through the same process. So it's that multiplication that as it's multiplying, it's ruining cell after cell. That's what causes the damage. And if this is happening on heart cells, for instance, it doesn't take but a couple of replications, and the heart is just non-functional. I lost a patient to that exact scenario several years ago, and there wasn't a thing that we could do about it.
Wow. So it's like a biological hacker.
It is.
They hack into your computer, your body, and they take over.
Right.
Wow. That is nasty. Now, you know, when I go to the doctor, you know, and they say, I have a virus, and I say, well, can you give me anything for it? And what some have told me is that it's a virus, antibiotics won't help. What's up with that?
That's truthful in that an antibiotic is a medication, a chemical that has been developed that will kill something. It's a poison of sorts. It kills bacteria without killing you. And although some of them can cause a lot of side effects in humans, still the general idea is that we kill the enemy and try to preserve as much of we try not to have you fall to friendly fire, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
sure.
An antiviral medicine, on the other hand, isn't something that kills. That's made a little bit smarter, and it gets in the way of the replication of the virus. It stops the mechanism so that your immune system can get the upper hand. The downside with an antiviral medicine is it has to be specific for that virus, and you have to have an intact immune system to take over, because if you stop the replication, or at least slow it down, because that's the best our medicines can do, slow it down considerably, if your immune system can't then take over and recover and eliminate the virus that's there, you've still lost the battle. Whereas an antibiotic fighting a bacteria, that can actually kill the bacteria for you, and your immune system doesn't have to be as top-notch.
Okay, so moral of the story is don't get a virus, get a bacteria, right?
Sometimes.
Well,
however, some of the bacteria can be bad actors, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Doctor, we're about out of time for this segment. But when we come back, I think I'll start us out with, and by the way, this is really good information because most people don't know this. It's second nature to you because you work with it every day. But to, you know, John Q. Public, it's really not second knowledge. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you, what is the difference between an epidemic and a pandemic? So don't answer that now. Folks, we're going to come back in 2 minutes while we're away. I want you to check out our sponsors. Go to firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and find out how you can protect yourself and your family from the legal justice system. and then go check out elitefirearms.us. Learn about Larry Jackson and how you can choose the right firearm for you and your family. Okay, folks, this is Kip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Coriel. We are speaking with Dr. Peter Vance from West Michigan, and he is telling us all about viruses and bacteria, the flu. And, Doctor, that was all good stuff that you gave us. My question that we left with, the difference between pandemic and epidemic, I really never understood the difference. Can you enlighten us on that?
Yep, a quick and easy one on that is epidemic is something that is common in a certain area. You go to Africa, you expect that you got to worry about malaria because it's in that region and you need to protect yourself against it. You need a defense system against it in that area. A pandemic is when that epidemic becomes a worldwide problem. If it is everywhere, it is pandemic, and right now the flu is a pandemic. We are under attack right now from a virus that is from Australia, and it's wreaking havoc here in Michigan. But this show, the Home Defense Show, is all about hope and what can we do so that we are not victims. So I wanted to tell you about our perimeter defenses that we have against this virus and where the virus attacks, how we can build those up, increase our first alert system, get our specific specialized forces, our own antibodies in play to fight it off, and how that's going to buy us some time. Then specifically talk, as we have already, a little bit about the enemy, a little bit about that virus and what its weaknesses are, so we know where to go to eliminate it from the body and finish up a potentially harmful illness on top with the virus being defeated.
Well, that sounds good. Sounds like concentric rings of security, just like you have around your house. You need to set up something like that for your own body. So, hey, Dr. Vance, take it away.
Well, thank you. Well, that virus is going to enter right through your gate if it can. if it's open, then it's going to come in, and if not, it's going to try to break through a wall somewhere. The open gates are, you can see it in your face. It's the holes. It's the eyes, it's the nose, it's the mouth. The virus is best as an airborne attacker, so if somebody coughs and sneezes in your local vicinity and you breathe it in, then you suck it right through the nose and the mouth, right down to the lungs. The lungs are just a one-layer thick, one-cell membrane thick defense between you and the outside world. So as soon as that virus attaches there, it injects its genetic material in there and starts the replication process so that there's more and more virus and disease starts. The mucous membranes of your eyes and your nose and your mouth, of course, are a little thinner than your skin, so it can penetrate there, but it takes a little bit longer, and you have a defense mechanism there. You've got mucus that's being produced, or tears in the case of the eyes, that will flush it away, but these still are not foolproof. And the skin is thick. It takes a lot longer for the virus to penetrate there. And the skin is the biggest organ on our body, and it's the biggest area where the virus could be lurking and trying to work on breaking through our defenses. The best defense is wash your hands frequently. If somebody's coughing near you, try to avoid it. If you're getting on a plane or going somewhere that you know you're going to be breathing in the air that a lot of other people are breathing, those funny-looking masks that people wear, just go ahead. Buy one of them. They're just 50 cents, and, yeah, you look like a nerd or something wearing them, but be a healthy nerd.
Wait, those things, those masks, they actually work?
Oh, they actually work. Yep. You can, if you can block off 90% of the virus you would otherwise breathe in, then your defenses can overwhelm the other 10%. That's all you need.
Well, Doc, you're shattering my world here, because basically what you just told me is that my wife is right and that I am wrong, because she's just, I mean,
two things got to roll off your tongue in marriage, Skip. One is you're right, honey, and the other one is I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, after my third marriage, yeah, I got that part down. But she is just a stickler for washing hands, you know, our three little ones, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it drives me crazy because, you know, I'll be in the bathroom and my 8-year-old, Phoenix, he'll say, Dad, don't forget to wash your hands. And I go, stop it, you know. And but my wife is right.
She has trained him well.
Yeah, and when you're in public, you know, what about things like, you know, touching things that other people have touched? How long does this virus live when it's not on a host or whatever?
Right, and there's that tricky question. How long does it live? Well, it doesn't live. It's not alive. It's a mechanism.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Biological attack mechanism. It's a trap waiting to spring, and it can sit on your skin for minutes, hours, days if you don't disturb it. If you bleach down a countertop, you can destroy all the viruses there. But if you've got something on your hands and you don't wash them, 2 hours later, that hand goes to your eye and rubs an itch. Next thing you know, you got the virus. If you've got an itch, if you're gonna do something like pick your nose or pick your teeth, and you can't remember when the last time it was that you washed your hands, go and do it. That simple.
So I not only do I have to wash my hands, I have to stop picking my nose. This is getting really serious stuff here. But, you know, so, wow, that's a big deal. I always thought, and first off, I didn't know that a virus wasn't a living organism like a bacteria. So that makes sense. It's like setting a booby trap and then walking away, and then whoever strips it, you know, it's a big problem for them.
Yes.
Dr. Vance, what about the hand sanitizer stuff that you see all over the place? Does that stuff work?
It works fairly well against bacteria. It doesn't work as well against viruses because it's an alcohol-based chemical that will dry up living things like bacteria, but doesn't break down the viruses very well. No, you're much better off with soap and water and friction. Rub every inch of your hands.
Oh, and probably running water, not standing water.
any water is better than no water, and running water is better than standing water. Yes, sir.
Yeah. When were viruses discovered in the medical community?
Before I can remember, and I'm old.
You're probably younger than I am.
We knew what viruses were doing long before we knew what they were, and Salk developed a vaccine against smallpox before he ever had any idea what the smallpox was caused by. But when did we really know what viruses were? Well, we think we know now after the development of incredible microscopes that can magnify things thousands and thousands of times. But we're learning more about that all the time. I want to get to the probably the most important thing about preventing flu, and that is immunization against the flu. When a virus is in your system, there is a process during the first couple of days where it is replicating, and your body is trying to defend itself. So the blood is flowing, and it's making more mucus. Histamines are flowing everywhere. You've gotten a fever. You're feeling sick. But your body is really still gathering intel. And if it can gather, if it can scarf up a couple of those viruses and break them down and analyze them, it can make blueprints for a weapon that can dismantle all the rest of the viruses. And it takes that blueprint and starts producing its own weaponry. And that weaponry we call antibodies. Those antibodies then can flow out to everywhere they need to go, dismantle the viruses. Even though they're replicating, usually we can catch up with the process and dismantle them faster than they can replicate and win the war. Sometimes we can't, and thus the mortality that we talked about a little bit earlier. The advantage of having an immunization ahead of time is you've got advanced warning. You've already got that blueprint in place for weaponry that can be used against this virus or viruses that are similar to it. This year, the flu shot was only about 30 to 40% effective, they're estimating. And a lot of people say, well, that's a failure because that's 70% that's getting right past you. Truth is, it's 30% to 40% effective, which means the weaponry that you have can already start to work against these while your body is doing its reconnaissance and creating even better weaponry. So rather than being sick for 21 days, you're only sick for 13 or 14 days. Rather than being sick to the point where you're hospitalized, you're only sick to the point where you lose a few days of work.
Doc, what do you say to the people who don't take the flu shot primarily because they're just not sure? It's something that, you know, quote unquote, the government put together, and they don't really trust the government from the get-go. So is there politics involved in this flu shot? How does that work? How do they create it? How do they set it up?
Right. Well, it is Center for Disease Control is a government-run organization, and so if you don't trust anything having to do with our government, then you probably shouldn't trust that either. And if you can find instead somebody who's been sick and maybe still has a little bit of the virus, but it's weakened form, fine. Go see if you can get a wild-type virus and give your body a little intel that way. But the risk there is you're going to get a full-fledged illness from it. And basically, the development of vaccines is that kind of process. Okay, let's go find the illness, the virus that we think is going to be most prevalent, and let's take its parts, let's dismantle it, and take the individual parts and introduce them to the body in such a way that the body can learn from it without it being a danger to it. This year, we did that with the influenza A type H1, thinking that that was going to be the predominant player, and we were fooled. It was the influenza A H3 subtype that was the predominant player. Nonetheless, people who were immunized still had advance notice, had intelligence, had the blueprints ready to go for a type A virus, and they could fight against it. It's just not as specific as the as if we had had a type A H1. Type A H3, which is...
Sure. Doc, we're almost out of time, but before we go, I think one other important thing is you talked about your immune system. How do we boost our immune system and make us healthy enough so that we can fight off this stuff.
Oh, that's where it all starts. Our immune system is fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's already given us the how-to for keeping it healthy, and that's laid out from the beginning of the good book to the end. And it's all about right living, all things in moderation, drinking plenty of water, getting your vegetables, getting enough protein, getting enough sleep, you know, balance your week where you've got putting the important things first, God and family and country, and then you move on from there. If you're not getting your exercise, if you're watching TV rather when you should be out walking in the woods, then you're not going to be as ready. It's a life of daily preparation for whatever the world throws at you.
Well, you are just you're just full of sunshine today. It's okay now. I can't pick my nose. I have to wash my hands every time my wife tells me to. And now I can't sit on my butt and watch television all day, and I've got to get a flu shot. Well,
don't forget to eat your vegetables.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, I have to eat broccoli now. So all of that stuff. But you know what? I hear what you're saying, and I think you've given us a really good overview. You've supported everything that you said. And I hope that our listeners will take what you've said to heart and do everything that they can, because – you know, the flu virus can be a real serious thing. Like you said, you know, it can actually kill. So, Dr. Vance, thank you very much for everything that you've told us. Thanks for coming to my concealed carry class and becoming a responsibly armed citizen, although you were before, and thank you for your service to our country. So, Doc, hey, you're out there on the front lines every day fighting flu virus, trying to keep our families safe. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Skip. Have a great day.
All right. Okay, folks, we're going to go away for another 2 minutes. Check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us and also firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. Find out how you can protect your family in other ways as well. When I come back in segment four, we're going to talk about some online resources as far as the Centers for Disease Control, and just some more information. And we're also going to talk about Stephen King's The Stand. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
We don't need to. We don't want to do that. You know, my kidneys feel a lot better in this position. Maybe it's just that I'm not doing any calisthenics. You know, if I did some sit-ups in the morning or bent over like this, I'd probably feel 100% Moon River. Whew. Thank you, Doc. You ever serve time?
Breathe easy.
Breathe easy. You know, I was surprised that Alan was able to get that policy. I know there's a history of cancer in the family.
There is?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you using the whole fist, Doc?
Just relax.
Yeah, I saw Alan the other day. He's looking a little peaked. I don't know, I think he's lost weight. Are you sure he's all right?
I can't discuss another patient, you know that. Well, I don't find anything wrong with you.
Huh. Well, sure it's not for a lack of looking.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Great segments 2 and 3 with Dr. Peter Vance. Man, I can't believe how much I didn't know about viruses and bacteria and the flu. All of that stuff, I really didn't know a lot of what he was talking about. Now, I didn't get into this while I was with the good doctor. I certainly wasn't about to play that last movie clip to him from Fletch. You know, but I think of doctors a little bit that way, especially in my old age. Because what happens when a man gets older? All of a sudden, you're not as healthy as you used to be. You know, you got higher risk of cancer and, you know, all kinds of weird diseases and stuff that I can't even pronounce. And so the doctor, you know, because he wants to take care of you, he's got all these tests and procedures that they want to do to you. And, you know, it's like, oh, like a prostate exam. Gosh, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, now colon rectal exams. And it's like, you know, just take a Bangalore torpedo and shove it up there. And, you know, if you're not in the military, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. But look it up. Bangalore torpedo, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I don't like that part of aging. I really, really don't. On the other hand, I'd like to continue aging because the alternative just is not good for my family. So, hey, I will do what I gotta do to stay healthy and keep my family safe. Am I going to go out and get a flu shot? I don't know. I haven't had a flu shot in many, many, many years. I've just taken the attitude that, gosh, I'm going to take magnesium and zinc and calcium and vitamin C. And, you know, I do eat a lot of vegetables. I really do. I mean, I love my red meat. But I got a pretty good balanced diet. I think I do pretty good there. I definitely need to cut back on the Mountain Dew, reference last week's show. And I also need to exercise more. So I will be working on that. I've already told my wife that I'm going to be buying a treadmill. So she's on notice with that. So, hey, folks, come on out and take some advanced classes, Countering the mass shooter threat, so that I can get enough money to buy this treadmill so that I get healthy, don't die, and leave my family poor and destitute without any support. There. How's that for a guilt trip? I want to talk a little bit about that first clip that we played from Stephen King's The Stand. You know, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. What exactly is that all about? I did a little bit of research on that. That phrase, bring out your dead, bring out your dead, comes from the Middle Ages, the Black Death, bubonic plague. Well, it was just so widespread. There were so many people that died. I'm over at wccshewing.wordpress.com. It's a blog here by Caitlin Robertson. But it says, how did the Black Death affect Europe? There were about 4 million people in England in 1348 before the Black Death came. after the Black Death, the population cut to only about 2.5 million. That's just amazing. A 1.5 million people just died. You know, about 40% of the population. 1 in 3 people probably died. Among priests, the death rate was even higher because they had to visit those who were dying. It was very hard to find enough people to take over their jobs. Many churches did not have services because they did not have priests. And then food during the Black Death. The Black Death had a huge impact on Europe. Fields went unplowed as the men who usually did this were sick with the Black Death. Harvest would not have been brought in as there were basically no workers. A lot of animals perished during this time as well. This was not because they had the Black Death, it was because that many of the workers had the Black Death, so they were either trying to fight it off or they were dead. Because there was less food because of the workers, whole villages would have faced starvation. Towns and cities would have faced food shortages as the villages that surrounded them could not provide them with enough food. Grain farming became less popular. This kept towns and cities short of such basics as bread. One consequence of the Black Death was inflation. The price of food went up, creating more hardship for the poor. In some parts of England, food prices went up by 4 times. Wow. You know, it goes on to talk about, you know, the Black Death today. It still exists. There are about 10 to 20 people every year who contract Black Death. But for the most part, it has died out. No pun intended. Now we have the flu virus, and that is just running rampant right now with no sign of stopping. Let's go now to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. That's cdc.gov, and I'm looking up influenza. They keep a kind of a status here on the whole flu epidemic. They've got a map here that shows the states that are hardest hit. Oh, boy. And the Midwest, the South, and the Northeast are all red, with the exception of Maine. I'm not sure why that is. Minnesota, even the colder environments, they are just red as red can be. But there is no sign of it slowing down. It's going to keep right on going. Listen to your wives. Start washing your hands. You need to go ahead, wash your hands. For me, I'm not going into public as much as I usually do. I see people hacking up lungs and, you know, barfing and coughing everywhere that I'm at. So when I see someone who looks like they have a cold, I give them a wide berth. I just steer around them. I had no idea it was that easy to contract that. That virus being able to stay on a doorknob for days, that is just amazing. My wife was right. I need to wash my hands more. But don't tell her that because, I don't know, she's right all the time, and it just drives me crazy. I also wanted to talk about my Countering the Mass Shooter Threat class. We had that today at Fenville Rod and Gun Club. Had a great time. It's composed of 2 hours of PowerPoint presentation. We talk all about, you know, the psychology of the mass shooter. And mass shooter really is a misnomer. It's mass murderer, mass killer. I'm a mass shooter. I shoot mass amounts of ammunition, as much as I can afford, all the time. But I'm not a mass killer, am I? These people are mass murderers. They're evil. They're mass killers. We spend the first 2 hours learning all about them, going over the history of it, the psychology, the sociology of it. What is causing it? Why is it growing when all other violent crime has been diminishing for the last 30 years? And then the last 2 hours of the class, we go ahead and we do some hands-on stuff. We do some role-playing, and I teach them, okay, you're in your office at work. You hear gunshots. What do you do? You know, the whole run, hide, fight. I teach them how to run, how to do it effectively, where to run, where to go, how to get out. And if you can't, I teach you how to hide, how to do that more effectively. Because people's first instinct isn't always correct for a given scenario. And then, of course, most people don't know how to fight an active shooter, a mass killer. They just figure, hey, he's got a gun. I don't have a gun, so if he finds me, I'm dead. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. We teach you all about improvised weapons, how to use them, how to fight with them, how to find them. We teach you how to kill a person with a knife. Most people don't know how to do that effectively. And we teach you how to take out the active killer with a gun, which, of course, is my favorite way. And it's a lot easier than taking them out with your bare hands. One thing I noticed, my students, they are so hesitant to take what they consider an unfair advantage, even against a mass murderer. You know, we had a scenario in there, and I was the bad guy. I got in my tactical vest, and I had my my CERT training gun, and I said, okay, I'm going to give you guys 3 minutes to make a plan, and I'm going to be walking into this room. You have two airsoft guns. Your job is to effectively take me out without any of you getting killed. You know I'm coming in because you can hear the gunshots. So I go out for 2-3 minutes, and then I come in, I walk through the door, I walk forward about 4 feet, and I pause. And one of the ladies was behind a wall to my left. She reached out, she grabbed me, and spun me around so that I was facing her. And at that point in time, all I had to do was just pull the trigger and shoot her. And then she hesitated. And then someone else came up and done something similar on the other side. We stopped the scenario, and we broke it all down. And I asked her, I said, you were behind me, which is exactly where you should have been. You had the drop on me. You know, a real active killer wouldn't have known that you were there. All you had to do is stay behind the wall, reach your hand out from behind the cover, put it up behind my head, and blow the back of my head off. And I wouldn't even have known that you were there. Why didn't you do that? And she said, well, because that didn't sound fair to me. I said, it didn't sound fair. She said, well, that, and I didn't even know whether or not you had a gun in your hand. I have to see the gun before I can shoot. And I said, no, 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 no. That is so not right. When you've got an active killer, someone who's already killed people, and he walks into your room, you take every unfair advantage you can get, because fair is out the window at this point. You can come up behind that guy, put the gun up to the back of his head, blow his head off. You know, he can fall down on the pavement. You can stomp him. You can urinate on his body. And you will not get in trouble with the law. Well, I don't know about that last part. But, you know, who knows what city ordinances are out there. But no one is going to judge you, because it's not about killing. It's about saving lives. That's what it's about. You look at Virginia Tech, 32 people dead. Sutherland Springs, 26 people dead. Sandy Hook, what is that, another 25, 26 dead. Little kids dead. It's not about killing. It's about saving innocent life. And I want all of you to get past that mindset that you have to fight fair. You don't have to fight fair. You have to fight hard as you can and go home to your family, and you have to take out the evil, the bad guy. That's your job. That's what you have to do. So don't be thinking about fighting fair all the time. When someone starts killing little kids, fair is not in my lexicon. Okay, Well, folks, we are just about out of time for this segment. Well, actually, for the whole show. So what I want you to do is head on out to Amazon.com and do a search on Skip Coryell, Civilian Combat. Pick out that book. That'll give you something to read in these cold, cold days ahead. Now that we have 6 weeks of winter. Darn, that Punxsutawney Phil. Should have got him when I had the chance. But anyways, I digress. Next week, I am working on getting an interview with none other than Cliven Bundy. We spoke with Sheriff Richard Mack a few weeks ago, got the inside scoop on that, but Cliven Bundy has written a book, and they are sending me an advance copy as I speak here. So I would love to interview Cliven Bundy. I hope I can get it by next week. If not, I'll find something else that's worthwhile. Whatever it is, it's going to be fun, folks. Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coryell. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!